This morning's homily will not be about pushing a camel through the eye of a needle. I don't know whether it's best to start with the nose end or the tail end. And I'm not sure if the hard part is getting that first bit started, or if it's really that last big pull that makes this so difficult. As I thought about this homily, I thought about the many homilies I've heard about this that in some way seem to seek to shrink the camel or enlarge the eye of the needle, such that by some sort of yoga, the camel will go through. I think it's pretty clear that the point of this saying is that camels don't go through the eye of a needle. We need to embrace that paradox. It's also very clear that wealth, possessions, the way in which our riches, our relationship to them, was of concern to Jesus. That he has significant teachings in the gospel about the just distribution of wealth and our relationship to wealth. And I think in some ways we can boil it down to that saying that says, where your treasure lies, there also your heart will be. Because the problem with our possessions is that they come to possess us. We want our heart to be where God's heart is. And if your heart is with your possessions, then it cannot be with God. And so the camel stays on that side of the needle. The young man comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus points him to the scriptures and to the commandments. And he says, "Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal, lie, cheat." He's not setting the high bar of moral virtue here. The man says, "I've done that since my youth." I find the next statement that Jesus loved him to be very interesting because, as we know, it doesn't seem like what comes next out of Jesus' mouth is an expression of love. But we must remind ourselves that Jesus is not giving the Pharisees a zinger here. This is not one of those reposts that he's so famous for. It says Jesus loved him, and he said, "You lack one thing. Go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." It says the man was shocked. I think he was hoping to hear something more along the lines of, "Good and faithful servant, you've done all that's required. Come, enjoy your inheritance." That's not what he heard. He came to Jesus kind of hoping, "What must I do? And you tell me. You do this, this, and this, and you get this." And Jesus' response breaks down this transactional relationship. It's not about doing this, this, and this, so you get this. Our relationship to God will not be cheapened and bought off. As I was preparing this homily, I kept returning to this poem by Billy Collins that I really love. It's quite famous. It's called "The Lanyard." He's recalling a time being at summer camp when he is making a gift for his mother in arts and crafts. And he makes her a lanyard For those of you who don't know what a lanyard is, it's basically a loop, a plastic loop that you hang around your neck. We have lanyards here, those little things. If you work in a hospital, you get them to put your badge on. But he says, I've never seen anyone use a lanyard or wear one if that's what you did with them. But that did not keep me from crossing strand over strand again and again until I'd made a boxy red and white lanyard for my mother. She gave me life and milk from her breasts, and I gave her a lanyard. She nursed me in many a sick room, lifted spoons of medicine to my lips, laid cold face cloths on my forehead, and then led me out into the airy night and taught me to walk and swim, and I, in turn, presented her with a lanyard. Here are thousands of meals, she said, and here is clothing and a good education, and here is your lanyard, I replied, which I made with a little help from a counselor. Here is a breathing body and a beating heart, strong legs, bones, and teeth, and two clear eyes to read the world, she whispered. And here, I said, is the lanyard I made at camp. And here I wish to say to her now is a smaller gift. Not the worn truth that you can never repay your mother, but the rueful admission that when she took the two-tone lanyard from my hand, I was as sure as a boy could be that this useless, worthless thing I wove out of boredom would be enough to make us even. The poem illustrates the asymmetry of the love with which we are loved. And it's so clear that a lanyard just doesn't quite capture that. We are loved by an unending love, and our possessions can get in the way. And that's essentially the meat of this. If your heart is with your possessions, they cannot be with God. As I was working on this and talking to my husband, Joseph, he told me a story that I wanted to share because I think it also kind of captures this. When he was 15, he left Guam and came to live in the United States, and after 5 years, he returned home. Now, Guam is a small island way out in the Pacific, and upon returning, he wanted to bring a gift to his grandmother, Anna. Anna was in her 80s. She spoke no English. She had never been off the island, and so he wanted to bring her something wonderful from America. And so he found a quilted blanket that was very beautiful and unlike anything you can find in Guam. And so when he went to her to bring it expectantly, he was dismayed when she set it aside quickly and reached for him and hugged him, and as they do, breathed him in. He was disappointed. But in recollection, he realizes now how clear the treasure and her heart was. For what is a blanket compared to a grandchild you haven't seen in 5 years? It's just the same in our relationship with God. She longs to reach out to us, to pull us close, to breathe us in, to hold us. Don't let your possessions come between you and that embrace. Amen.